This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Cam Smith did it again yesterday. Didn't hit it out of the ballpark, but if you saw the video online, and that's where you'd need to find it, because very few of these Astros games are on TV during spring training. That may show up in the Pettycast later, but at any rate,
isn't that hard? You gotta show up for a few games.
They're all there. Like, Ty, I'm listening on the radio, and Todd Callis is on the radio. I'm like, he's out there. Just turn the cameras on. Jeez.
Just stream it. Stream this. Yeah,
something. At any rate, the video, when big things happen, the video does show up online. And Cam Smith, if you missed it yesterday, he's just having a phenomenal spring. And he hit a triple off the top of the wall to clear the bases. Astros were trailing the Marlins 3-1. Fairly late in the game, and 3-run triple, and they go on to win 5-3. And I was listening to that while I was walking yesterday, Seth, and I'm thinking, man, what would Cam Smith have to do to actually make the team out of spring training?
To make the team day one.
To make the team day one, you know, because we know, yeah. Dana Brown is more aggressive than some GMs in bringing up, in using young players. They've got solutions, not great ones in some of the positions, but they've got an opening day lineup kind of penciled in already. I think it would take major, major underperformance for them to stray away from that, and I definitely don't think they want to bring Cam Smith up to be a reserve. Like, when he comes up, he's the guy. So I tend to think there's zero chance of him making the team out of spring training, yet he's doing about as good a job as you can putting a bid together right now.
I mean, he had 5 games in Double-A last year.
Right.
And now this is spring training where at times you're going against Single-A, Double-A, Triple-A guys. So I would be surprised, if only because they're going to want to get an extra year of service time.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
No matter how good he is in spring training, A, he still has had very little time playing professional baseball at all. And B, there's no hurry right now.
Yeah.
Now, if Chaz McCormick starts off the season in right field batting 57.057 for the first 3 weeks or something, maybe then they'll think about bringing him in and moving him to right field.
Especially
or something.
If he's hitting. Like, remember when Yordan was just crushing the ball back in 2019 in the minor leagues? Like, you got to bring this guy up. So he's batting 380. You got to bring him up.
I mean, and we're not just biased because he's looking good in spring training right now. Everybody in the organization just gushes about him. Yeah. They love him. And if you're on a team right now that doesn't have a pressing need for him to advance him through the ranks, given the position that he plays, the only way is if the Astros get off their horrendous start and there's multiple injuries and everything, but you got to get that extra year of service time out of him at the very least. So I'd be surprised if until a couple of whatever the date is this year, they wait until after that. I would be surprised if they don't wait until after that.
Yeah, text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Cam Smith won't be a day one. July, August call up to preserve his, they call it rookie salary cap for another year.
Yeah.
Conflating things a little bit. But yeah, team control is...
So for those of you who don't know, they can push free agency back one more year.
Yeah.
If whatever the date is.
Bring him up in July. It's sometime during the middle of the summer.
It's the old George Springer thing.
Yeah.
It used to be frowned upon around the league, and now it's the standard operating procedure.
So Michael Schwab, who does, he covers the Astros, he says if top prospect Cam Smith keeps hitting like this, he's making the opening day roster, and he's probably starting He's about 30 to 40. This is a hot take. He needs about 30 or 40 more at-bats this spring before we can know for sure. But I haven't seen a hitting prospect this special since Yordan. I agree with that last part. I mean, it's very small sample size, but I agree with that last part. I tend to agree with Adam Spillane, Seth, who quote tweeted Schwab and said, "There is no chance Cam Smith is on the opening day roster in 2025. None, zero." I tend to agree. I like the work Schwab does. I agree with him. I disagree with him on this take. Yeah.
About I wonder, I want to see how much time Yordan spent in the minors before he got called up. It was 2013 through. Did he ever play with LA in the majors?
No.
Through 2019.
Yeah.
So if you make the Yordan comp, then this would be vastly accelerated.
Yeah, yeah. Cam's 22, and Yordan was probably a teenager when he got signed. But yeah, Cam needs more seasoning, even with all this, even with all the hitting that he's doing, for sure. So the Astros win yesterday, and Cam Smith has a bases-clearing triple. Travis Hunter, shifting gears. NFL Combine is over. We got a lot of leftovers from the Combine that we'll get to on the show. Again, Mike Thoman, the new president of the Texans, will join us in studio at 8 o'clock today. Travis Hunter, who is a rarity, a true two-way player in college football, like playing 120 snaps a game, plays full-time wide receiver at Colorado, full-time cornerback, and both at a very high level. That's why he's forecasted to not make it past the fifth pick in the draft. He was asked whose job is harder. Basically, Shohei Ohtani, we know, can pitch and hit and do it at an elite level, just like Travis Hunter does both of his things at a pretty high level as well. What's harder, what Shohei does or what Travis Hunter does? Here's Travis Hunter.
Probably me, what I do in football, because it's a lot on your body. You know, Ohtani, he's a great player, but you got to do a lot in football.
Okay. Yeah. So that 7 seconds got all kinds of run over the last
couple
days.
That got a whole lot of like, hey, do you actually know how hard it is to hit a baseball or to be a pitcher and all of that? And that was my first initial reaction. And yet, there's the physical demand of it is the thing that would make it, I would say, equally as hard if he actually did in the NFL what he did in college, which I think there's almost zero chance that they ask him to do. Just by way of illustration, he played 113 snaps per game this year. The average NFL number of snaps on offense or defense in a game is 63. So wow. He played almost twice the number of snaps that you're going to play in the NFL. The big difference is he's only done it in the minor leagues so far.
Hasn't
done it. Shohei has done it in the major leagues, mm-hmm. and he's done it spectacularly. So I got more offended by the present tense part of it. Like, what I'm doing is harder than what Shohei Ohtani did. Nah, you've been doing it in the minors. If you actually did in the NFL, then we can talk, but I don't think there's a chance in hell that a team uses him that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such apples and oranges, too. Like, you're talking about, on one side, you're talking about super fine motor skills, like the finest of motor skills to go along with athleticism. On the other side, you're talking about the ability to withstand pain with athleticism.
The ability to withstand pain, but also it's really, really hard to be a part-time player on defense as a defensive back. You need to get into the flow of the game. You need to start to feel and see formations and tendencies and everything. So if they're going to use them liberally on both sides, and I don't think there's a team out there, even if they have designs on using them a lot on both sides of the ball, I don't think there's a team out there that has a single notion that they're going to play them both ways all the time.
No.
At any point in his career.
I think the ceiling, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I said, well, probably during the combine last week, I think the ceiling for him is he's an elite defensive back, like an elite cornerback ceiling. And they have a package for him on offense.
Yeah,
you know they've got 8 to 10 plays in the playbook, and he gets on the field for 2 or 3 of them a game. That kind
right.
of thing.
It's a Travis Hunter package.
Yeah,
it's on goal line or it's wherever it might be that's manageable. I think that's something you could probably see by the end of his first year. It seems like, based on the scuttlebutt coming out of the combine, that most teams are looking at him as a defensive back. Mm-hmm. There are some teams that are looking more of it as primarily a receiver. I'll credit him for being open to anything, because the top paid wide receivers make about $10 million more per year on average than the top paid defensive backs.
They do. I think it's easier to get paid, though, as a top flight corner on a bad team than it is a top flight wide receiver. He's going to get drafted to a bad team.
That's true. Yeah, Cleveland, that's a good point.
Right? Like Cleveland is one of the, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Seth, I think Cleveland is one of the teams that's talking about him more as a receiver than a cornerback.
Yeah.
You got to wait. Like the good receivers on bad teams are agitating for trades, like Garrett Wilson. The good corners on bad teams, you don't hear a peep from them.
You know what? Cornerback might be one of the few positions in sports where it's almost better when you're on a bad team because you get targeted less.
Yeah.
Like you actually, if you're on a bad defense, then they're going to attack everywhere except you if you're a good player. So it doesn't show. So you don't get the interceptions and everything, but the film looks pretty good. Your average percentage, the number of times targeted and everything, you can build a reputation as a really good cornerback on whether it's a great team or a bad team.
You build a rep as a barroom brawler without ever having to get into a fight. is what you do.
Yeah,
know what I mean? Like, we don't attack. We're not attacking Stingley. No way, man. You know, I'm talking back when
that's
the Texans
are bad. That's a really
good
point, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to write that down in the Google Doc of good points
good
made by
points,
Sean. It's
you.
Long. It's a long one.
I appreciate
it. Takes
that.
A long time to load.
I appreciate that. But I bring that up if that's his goal. Like, most of these guys, their goal is to get to the second contract and get paid. You know, like, that's why I bring that up.
I'm literally creating the Google Doc of good Sean points right now.
It's about time.
I want to be able to go back to it, and there's those times when I hate you. Just remind myself.
Remember on March 4th? March 4th, he did have a good Travis Hunter point. That's funny.
Brandy, I'm going to send it to Brandy.
She can track it. Yeah. The texter raises the point I think you were making. Hunter would have to memorize two playbooks. Yeah. Like it's easier. One playbook and like 10 plays.
And that's why I would say that the thing that he has not actually done yet, but playing every snap on both sides of the ball in the NFL, I think that would be, and doing it well, that's the other key, that he'd have to be an all-star in both capacities. That would be equally as difficult and as impressive. And in the modern NFL, nobody's done it ever. Yes, guys used to play both ways all the time, but that was back when everybody was playing both ways.
Yeah.
So the standards weren't as high. That would be equally as impressive, but I don't think there's a chance in hell that he ends up doing it. So Shohei Ohtani is still he still has the lead on all of that.
I agree with all that. Now, that said, would you be cool with Stingley doing something like that? Stingley definitely has the physical tools to do what we're talking about, and the ball skills in the hands to do what we're talking about with Travis Hunter.
I feel like he would almost be like a miniature version of DeAndre Hopkins, in that he could make mediocre quarterbacks look better than they are because of his ball skills.
Contested catches, I do.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where on the goal line. He doesn't have the ideal height, you know, by the playbook to be your goal line guy, but I feel like by virtue of of springing it and having it a surprise element on the against the defense, he should be used on the goal line.
Yeah. I wonder if Nick Caley will agitate for that. I wonder if that was part of the deal coming here. I'll come here. I'll be your OC. I need 8 snaps out of Stingley.
Two things that I need. I need your assistant offensive line coach to be the offensive line coach, and I need Derek Stingley.
Sting, yes, yes. Chad Ochocinco says that these are the two hardest things to do.
The two most difficult things in life are hitting the baseball and keeping a woman happy long term. The two most difficult things in life. You hear me? Very.
Very. Tacks on a very at the end.
I was trying to figure out how to take that take. Is that Chad Johnson saying that women in general are hard to please, or that it's a hard job just as a man to sustain a good and healthy relationship?
I'd say both.
Because of our demons.
Yeah. I would say probably a little of both.
I'd say the way he phrased it, that was a little bit of like, them hoes.
Yeah, I think it was too. I'm trying to cut him a little bit of slack, but I think you're right. Like, I think
there's this whole culture on TikTok now where these young men are being they're being fed this propaganda that women are the problem, not you.
Oh, really?
These hoes don't know. Oh yeah, it's really toxic.
That's healthy.
It's really toxic. Yeah. I'm gonna go back to doing exercises to increase my jawline. Not that it matters, because these women, it's their fault that I'm lonely and angry all the time.
Yeah, spend more time on TikTok, man. I gotta see these videos you're talking about.
You gotta start mewing.
Yeah.
That's what I learned yesterday in an article in Men's Health. Men's Health, which, by the way, is turned into this is how bad it is, because young guys don't read magazines, obviously.
Right, right.
So I like to get it's the one periodical that I get in paper form still,
because
I like it for motivational purposes. It's good to just kind of leaf through and you're like, oh, here's a health tip I'll try out.
Yeah, yeah.
But Brandy doesn't pay attention to me in general, just, you know, very casually. So the other day, she said, hey, I put your old guy's catalog in the next to your bed. like old guy's catalog. She thought that it was a catalog.
You know,
like
a,
for almost like the what are some of those stores that the older women go to? The equivalent of that. You know, the stores that at the mall that we were like, oh, that's a big frilly flowery thing. That's about Liz Bryant or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She thought it was an old guy's catalog. I'll have you know, that is a cutting edge health magazine.
Cutting edge health magazine, so you can be a better version of yourself for her.
So anyway, they're talking about these young men and how they're all into doing these exercises to make give yourself a more prominent and masculine jawline.
Oh, really? Oh.
And I thought, that's ridiculous. Let me try 7 of these exercises right now. I'll be chewing gum between breaks right now.
Well, is
extra hard gum, though.
Don't you get... Right. Yeah, get that muscle buildup. Yeah, I mean, don't if you get rid of a double chin, doesn't that by definition make give you a squarer jaw?
Well, no, it's also about the geometry of the way your mouth cavity and everything is shaped and your jaw fits together.
Yeah.
It's a long shot. I'm going to be, the long story short, I'm going to be devastatingly handsome 2 months from now.
I feel like your head is shaped the right way to do that. My head's a little rounder than yours. You've got kind of a longer face.
But it's all about what you do with what you got.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean. Just saying, we're going to be mewing champions.
You've got the frame for it, is what I'm saying. You've got the frame for a squarer jaw.
Wait, what was the good point that you made 3 minutes ago?
It was the one about Travis Hunter will get paid as a cornerback, has a better chance of getting a big second contract as a corner.
Okay. Even though the apex of what you get paid isn't as high for defensive backs as it is for wide receivers, it's more achievable whether you're on a good team or bad.
It's less risky. Like you got a better chance of getting a top of market contract at corner on a bad team than you do a top of market contract as a wide receiver.
Wow.
You're more QB dependent, you know, that kind of thing. All right. Are you jotting that down in the new document that you have?
DBs have a better chance of performing well on a bad team.
See how that ages.
Than wide receivers do.
Travis Hunter's going to go out and get 1,700 yards with 5 quarterbacks on the Browns, and he's going to get $42 million a year 3 years from now.
Some guys, like DeAndre Hopkins, made his reputation that way. He was the QB proof. I called him the skeleton key for quarterbacks.
He did. I don't know that Hunter's built the same way, but Hopkins, he's just freaky with all the contested catches and everything, you know? All right.
Catch radius.
Catch radius.
Catch radius and mewing. That's what you got to focus on.
Two big things. All right, let's get to headlines. Astros, another big day for Cam Smith. Rockets, good job, good effort. No win, but a good effort. Cougs last night, thumbs up on that. We've got a couple NFL nuggets that we'll get to. That's all in headlines coming up next.